The Marching Roundtable is proud to be an official media partner of Drum Corps International.
Hey, everybody, this is Rick Subel from Paramount Winter Guard and Carolina Crown Drum and Bugle Corps. I'm a big fan of Tim and Courtney and everyone at Marching Arts Education and the work that they do, putting out great messages of education and artistry, talking about the evolution of our art form in color guard and pageantry, marching band, and drum corps. I encourage everybody to listen up to the broadcast messages that they have and get involved and share the news of Marching Arts Education with everyone.
On this podcast, Bart Woodley, Rosie Queen, and Wayne Markworth of WGI explain the new virtual format for winter 2021.
Kids lost this opportunity, and we know that kids love to march, and most of them love to compete. That's just part of the program because it's fun, it's exciting, it's a goal, it's a motivation, and they lost that opportunity. So the WGI virtual events is an opportunity for them to make up a little bit of the lost time.
A lot of our priorities have shifted. You know, a couple of years ago, you know, we might have been more cutthroat competition, and this is really important to our program. But the fact that, you know, this is about making sure that our programs thrive in this setting. And over the long term, we keep both the activity alive and we keep our programs alive and keep these kids engaged. So whatever performance, I think it's about performing, and I think it's about getting that gratification first and foremost, as it usually is. But there's, you know, the fact that we can do this in a non-competitive, non-threatening way, we wanted those folks to have an option as well.
Lots of directors and instructors and designers want to keep their students performing and involved in their programs, and WGI has created a new virtual format for this winter that makes it possible for any group in any situation to find a way to perform and have fun this winter.
I'm excited about this for our community and most importantly for the performers. And I just think if you can, you know, take an afternoon and sift through that website and find all the places where your program can fit into this, and I guarantee it's going to be a great experience. I'm excited to be an audience member and to watch all of these performances and to, you know, have our WGI community as a whole come together and be able to sit on a Saturday with my popcorn in the comfort of my own home and watch all these great performers do what they, you know, what I haven't been able to see for, you know, way too long now. So I'm excited for that. And I just encourage all of the directors out there to, once you get through the morning of it all, that you look forward into the future of what this could be for your program. And most importantly, for your kids to have fun and enjoy what we all love about WGI together.
You'll be amazed at all the new and exciting opportunities. There's something here for every situation. Let's take care of our students and keep our programs thriving this winter. WGI Winter Plans and how your group can participate on the Marching Roundtable. Hey, this is Tim Hinton, the Beast of the Marching Arts, and I know how this goes. You and your staff have a great show idea you're really excited about, but at a certain point in the process, you find yourself sort of stuck in the weeds of it all. What you need is a fresh pair of eyes and ears. Let me help you. I'm often on a Zoom call or phone call with a staff, and I'll find myself saying things like, "Have you thought about it this way?" Or, "I did a similar show idea one time, and we did this, which really worked well." Or, "You know, you could create that effect this other way and save a lot of money." Let me share my lifetime in the marching arts with you. A one-hour consultation could give you the ideas you need to take your show from good to great, or from fifth place to first place. Contact me at timhinton.com or beastofthemarchingarts.com.
Hey guys, this is Shane Gwaltney here with Music City Mystique and Sync Tip Designs. I highly encourage you to visit Marching Arts Education and peruse their site and check out what they have to offer and sign up for membership. We've been working all summer to help out a lot of drum corps, get their word out, and there's tons and tons of content on there that will help you further your education and move forward with everything marching arts related.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Marching Roundtable. This is Tim Hinton, the Beast of the Marching Arts, and we are talking about all the very interesting, cool, and innovative things that WGI has planned for this winter. And I have been talking to a lot of band directors
who are like, you know, I need to look into this because my fall season wasn't normal or we didn't even have one. And I think I need to try to engage my kids with some marching in the winter. And now WGI is making that all possible in a lot of really interesting ways. So let's talk about that. On the line with me today, first up, Bart Woodley. How are you, Bart?
Hey, great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being here. Also on the line today, Rosie Queen. Rosie, how are you?
Hello, doing great.
Thanks for being here. And Wayne Markworth. Wayne, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. How's everybody else? You've already said.
I think we're doing great. No, glad you guys are here. So I think you guys are so famous that everybody knows exactly what you do. But just in case somebody's listening and they're not in the know about some of this, Bart, why don't you explain to everybody what your role is at WGI?
Sure. I am the director of operations here for the organization. And I'm actually, believe it or not, celebrating my 20th anniversary here this year.
Wow, congratulations. Congratulations. So,
it's been a great ride.
Absolutely. It's been a great 20 years. And as somebody that's been, I mean, I went to my first WGI in 1982. Yes, everybody, that's how old I am. I was in Nashville. So anyway, so I've watched the growth of the whole thing. It's really exciting to see how it's all gone. Rosie, why don't you explain to everybody what your role is?
I am on the board of WGI and serving as one of the people that kind of headed up this virtual committee to put together this programming for all of us to continue on in the event of this crazy world that we're living in right now. So we've been working on things for many, many months, and it's been really a pleasure to put it together with the team.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And I think people probably would assume this, but, you know, you guys have been working tirelessly to try to figure out how to make it work. And I, like I said, I think you've come up with a really smart plan. So I'm looking forward to talk about that. Wayne, tell everybody about your role.
My role in WGI is I am the director of WINS in WGI, and the WINS division has been around for 5.5 years, I guess we can say. It's growing and growing, and I think there are lots of opportunities for the WINS groups in this virtual opportunity.
Yeah, I think this is going to be the year because, I've had many band directors saying, you know, my fall season was shut down and my kids want to do something. I've even had band directors call me and say, Tim, you wrote this music show for us this fall. We want to do it in the winter. Is that okay? And I'm like, of course. It's fantastic. I just want to get it played and I want your kids. And it was written for... That's one of the things I'm just going to say this up front. One of the things that band director said to me was, you know, we wrote this music arrangement for the fall for a specific group of kids. And those kids, some of those kids are going to be gone. And so I want to do it with those kids. And I'm like, great. You know, it was a very cool show that I really liked. And so I was like, let's do it. So they're planning to do that. But I think, Bart, there are a lot of people that don't know what that means. Like there are a lot of band directors that may be listening to this. They've never really done anything with WINS, or none of their groups perhaps have even been involved with WGI. I just want to kind of let them know kind of what the plan is, how this works. Where would we start that discussion?
Well, I mean, I guess as long as they have a basic understanding of what the WINS division is, first of all. So, yeah, we have added, as Wayne just said, about 5.5 years ago, a version of like indoor marching band, essentially, into the programs that WGI is offering. And I mean, Wayne can tell us way more about the benefits of that and keeping the instrument on the kids' faces, you know, in the off season in terms of the marching band versus concert. And there's several things that we can go into later there. But really, as far as how they would be able to involve themselves into some of the things we're offering virtually, we have attempted to try to set up something so that there are competitive and also non-competitive solutions for any situation that the groups will be in. Because, as you know, one school is full out going to school and the school across the street is all virtual. So there is no rhyme and reason. There's everything in between. And so that was really the goal of setting this up, was make sure we have a solution for anyone. You may have to think out of the box a little bit. For sure you're going to have to think out of the box. And find ways that your ensemble can get together in the ways that are safe in your area and how you feel appropriate. So, I mean, I can kind of give you just a bird's eye view here, really, is that we're trying to offer virtual competitions in a solo category so that kids who would be literally maybe in quarantine or having to work virtually, they can do something by themselves. We have a small ensemble category, which takes all the way up to 10 members, and they can compete there as a small ensemble. And then we also are offering group competition and group non-competitive as well. So you can enter the same versions of a show, get the same feedback tapes. And then we also have an extra category called the e-showcase, which is really more of a very kind of a hodgepodge. We threw out all the rules. Anything goes. You know, video editing projects will land here. If you know, in like the tiled videos, if you want to make one of those with your kids all together, that would be where you would go with that type of an edited project. And then we also even are offering something that we're calling the community project, in case, which we're finding some programs are just saying, we're not going to have a program, unfortunately, this year. And we hope, obviously, that not a lot of people are in that situation. But if kids find themselves in that situation, then there is also the community project where they can go and join a virtual group and participate in. It's powered by the virtual arts folks who did the virtual drum corps, and they're currently doing a virtual marching band. You're able to participate at your own speed and be an individual involved in that. Or even if they did have a group and they were just looking for extra opportunities, you know? Yeah. So that's kind of the big picture idea. Yeah,
that's so very cool.
You know, as you can see. Yeah, COVID, you know, COVID wise, you can only have 10 people together in your community. Okay, small ensemble it is, you know, like, so you just have to kind of think way different to find out where you need to be. And we also felt like the non-competitive things were very important to offer, because we know that people might not be able to have the same types of rehearsal facilities. They might not be able to have the same time together. They might not have the same budget this year that they normally have had. So, again, we're just trying to throw out anything so that everybody can participate.
Yeah, that's what I love about this, Rosie, is you guys figured out a way for anybody in any situation, because everybody's in every kind of situation right now.
Yeah, and what I love about all of this, too, is that it opens the door for so many people that can, you know, can attend a WGI competition now, or a WGI program, that maybe never could before. You know, in some ways, this opens opportunities to even more people to participate. And, you know, people that couldn't afford to travel to Dayton every year or to attend regionals, or even international folks. You know, one of the things we also, you know, is on our wish list of, like, maybe this is an opportunity for some of the drum corps to participate in the off season. You know, they're doing such a great job of keeping their groups engaged with them, you know, and this could offer a performance opportunity to them. So I think it's just endless, and it's really exciting to me to think that this, you know, situation of being in this COVID world that none of us are really fans of, but it could really give people an opportunity here that maybe they wouldn't have had before. And I love that. I love making WGI a broader, you know, broader place to go.
So. Yeah, it just seems suddenly so much more accessible for anybody. Not that it wasn't, but like this really opens it up in that way. So Rosie, he described the different kinds of the broad stroke of those competitions. Are those categories true for guard and drums and winds?
Oh, definitely. Most definitely. And I think that's one of the exciting things, is we really tried to pick apart, you know, what everyone needs, you know, what every division would need to succeed and to keep all their kids engaged. You know, we've opened it up to some new classes too. You know, where we have a 13 and under category for the solo and small ensembles. So now, you know, on top of the regular audience of scholastic and independent groups, we're opening it up to potential feeder groups and things like that. We're opening it up in the group categories to regional A and junior divisions now. So, you know, it's we're casting a wider net to involve even more people in more situations. So I love that.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So before I jump to Wayne with questions about WINS specifically, Bart, I haven't said it yet. So where does somebody go to learn more about this online?
Yeah, if you want to go to wgi.org/virtual, you would be, it'll take you to a landing page. We have several videos. I encourage you to then kind of focus in. It'll say, do you want to go look at the competitive options or the non-competitive options? And you, so it kind of helps you try to drill it down. There are overview pages once you get down into there, which have little videos that help explain, and it kind of tries to summarize everything. Because you're right, it is a lot, especially when you say, oh yeah, and then there's all this, and it's for Color Guard, and it's for drums, and it's for WINS.
Yeah, so, but that's the genius of it, Bart, is that anybody in any situation can figure this out for them, because I feel like everybody, like I said, everybody's in every kind of different situation, you know, so maybe this year everybody's all together, you know, as opposed to being in little groups. Who knows? So Wayne, I have a lot of band directors that are talking about involving their students. And now we see that there are all kinds of ways they can do it. Competitive, non-competitive, different size of groups, whatever you might have, whoever wants to participate. So somebody that doesn't know much about the WINS competition, what would you tell them about how this is going to benefit their program in general and their kids as players and as musicians?
Well, I, like you, have been following the band world and what's been going on ever since March, really. And not just marching band, but concert band programs, jazz ensembles, all the virtual learning and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, in regards to the fall, I see the whole gamut of marching bands that were totally shut down and never did like 1 hour of practice even, to the other extreme. In fact, 2 days from now, I'm going to be an evaluator at a marching band festival. And there are 15 bands going to be there in a stadium. And there are four evaluators. They're going to do their show, whatever it happens to be. And then they have 30 minutes. And the evaluators are going to clinic the bands if that's what they want, or talk to the bands, or give them a little attitude pep talk or whatever they need. So
it's great.
You know, there's that on the other. But everything is in between. And certainly most of them, at least I see it, some kind of a hybrid program. Very few programs are going full tilt like they've always done. So, you know, they're practicing a couple days a week and maybe doing, we're still having football games here. So they're kind of doing a show of some sort, servicing all that. So, you know, when I just follow along, especially on social media and seeing what the directors are saying, you know, the kids lost this opportunity. And we know that kids love to march, and most of them love to compete. That's just part of the program because it's fun, it's exciting, it's a goal, it's a motivation. And they lost that opportunity. So the WGI virtual events is an opportunity for them to make up a little bit of the lost time. And I especially think about the seniors. Today's seniors who lost the last half of their junior year. Last spring, and now they maybe lost all or a part of their fall marching band. So, and the band directors, I think, are looking at, you know, come next fall and hopefully things are back to normal like they've always been. We've got half a band that's never marched before, or maybe we've got half a band that's, you know, done some stuff, but they certainly haven't had two full years. So, this will kind of fill that void also.
Yeah, there are a lot of directors that are concerned about losing the rehearsal time and the skills of their students. And of course, I keep trying to encourage everybody, listen, there's ways you can do that. But this would be an example of that, right? There's a way that you can get some marching skills in their feet so that you don't feel so behind next fall.
Yeah, and a lot of the remote learning that's been going on, they're keeping the kids working on their individual skills as best they can. And, you know, I think it's certainly nothing like in-person teaching and playing an ensemble, but they've lost their ensemble skills. You know, it's one thing to work on exercise, etudes, solos, and things like that by yourself and playing it on Zoom and getting feedback, but that's not what band is. That's not what we all signed up for and want. So this, for the
the many opportunities we have gives them chances to build up their skills, build up their ensembles, get the band, in our case, the band experience again. And as we said, for 5.5 years, when we had regular WINS division in WGI, one of the biggest outcomes is the kids play way better by doing WGI WINS. They play better individually. They play better when they go back to their concert bands, their jazz ensembles, and of course their marching bands. So
tell me why that is, because I think directors need to hear that. We've had that discussion on other podcasts, and I encourage people to look those up. But people are often thinking, well, I typically do that kind of work in concert band or small ensembles or solo ensemble. So what is it about the extra time that they're spending in the WINS groups that you think makes that possible?
Well, in a normal season, a WINS group is practicing an extra 3, 4, 5, maybe 6 hours a week during the winter months. And they're getting instruction 3, 4, 5, 6 hours more a week that they normally wouldn't get. And it's good to say, well, you know, they should be taking private lessons and they should just stay home and practice. But, you know, we know kids and they need that motivation, and that time on task is what it's all about. So same will be true here. If you look at the extra opportunity that this might bring about, they'll just be playing their instruments more. They'll be getting instruction more. And one of our sayings lately is more kids, more music. And that's all a good thing.
Right. And like you mentioned, a lot of students are are grieving the loss of their season. And this might be a way for them to sort of get that in their senior year or in their year period. You know, Rosie, we talked about thinking outside the box. I want to go back to that for a minute, because I think that's what's really cool about this. You know, people are often thinking, I'm so challenged because, I mean, like for me as a drill writer, like I was writing all this socially distant drill. That was tough. But then I kind of thought, well, it's also kind of fun because I'm having to figure out how to not make it stupid and how to make it cool. And like, that's been an interesting project. So I'm assuming that's how you want people to be thinking about this, right? Here's an opportunity to have the chance to do something really different.
Yes, definitely. I mean, I think that's what the most exciting part of it is, you know, it's just new opportunities. And some of us that have been doing this for a long time, you know, I've talked to many of my friends that choreograph and design, and they're like, you know, this is kind of exciting to like have different rules and parameters to deal with. You know, the thing that I love too, and, you know, is what Wayne was just saying. I love that this could give someone an opportunity that maybe if a band director was interested in, you know, maybe I want to try this WGI WINS thing, but I don't know how it fits into my schedule. Well, you can do it this year. You can stay home. You don't have to travel. Like, there's so many opportunities in that for people to dip their toe in the WGI water now. It's a very low, you know, entry fee. And it's just a cool way for people to start to get involved. And, you know, even, you know, some of the things we've brainstormed, there's a creative uses list in each of those categories on the WGI website to kind of let some of the directors read through and think, oh, you know what, this is a way that I could use this solo class with my kids, or this is a way I could use the group competitive class with my kids. There's kind of a list of all the different things you could do. But one of the things that I know my color guard instructors are struggling with is because so much of this has been on Zoom, and, you know, in distance learning and all of that stuff, that it's been challenging to come up with new material, you know, like we're kind of doing what we can do and doing the best we can do. What I love about this is that it gives all these kind of curriculum class time projects that you could do. You know, you could separate your team into small groups and have all the seniors put together a flag ensemble or, you know, a low brass ensemble and put it out there. You could put little mini shows together, or if you want to train some of your younger kids to be soloists in the future, like, okay, great, put them into a solo competition. If you want to have your kids learn how to choreograph, you can put them on some of those projects. Like, there's so much opportunity in there to use on in your daily class time and in your daily curriculum. If you think of it, you know, if you open your mind to it instead of, you know, oh, another virtual thing. I mean, I just think the opportunities are endless and very exciting.
Yeah, Bart, I love that she mentioned that because I think people are trying to figure out how am I going to keep my kids engaged, and especially those that are really virtual still. Well, this seems tailor-made to that because there's all these ways you could create projects for them. And it just sounds like fun to me. I kind of wish I was back in school and spinning, yeah. You know?
Well, you know what, Tim? You can.
Oh, my gosh. Wait. How's it possible I can do this? I'm an old dog. Explain
this
to me.
You can participate, okay. Too. If you want to get a group of friends together, you can put together a little ensemble. That's the best part about it.
Oh my gosh, everybody's going, no, please, Tim, don't do that. But you know what? That is really interesting. Really, like almost anyone, right? Is there an infant category? I don't even want to encourage you. Never mind. So Bart, we're talking about, but people really are trying to figure out how to engage their students, especially virtually. And here it is, right?
Yeah. That's, as I said, that was the goal all along. And, you know, we did even, Wayne, let's talk about the concert classes that you added into WINS too, because this was another twist to the story here that we ran across. So we just made some new divisions, made a new category.
Okay,
so,
Wayne, I didn't know about this. There's a concert band thing. Tell me about it.
Not concert band per se, although it could be. But this is how it came about. So, well, first of all, there is solo and ensemble that can be a traditional solo and ensemble like we've done WGI the last two summers, like kids in schools are used to all the time. So there's that opportunity. It's another venue for them, place to get some feedback, to get it streamed. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. And, you know, the schools that wind up being in session starting in 2021, and they are doing solo and ensemble. Well, they put together a solo, they put together an ensemble. You know, you hate to just spend all that time and just play it for 10 minutes once. So this is another outlet for that. But the traditional WINS groups or mini marching bands, you know, a lot of them, when we started talking about this, in the fall when it looked like a possibility. And they said, well, you know, I think we will be able to get our band room or we'll be able to get our gym occasionally, but we're not going to have enough time to really march a full show in the traditional WGI WINS group sense. So I don't know how we can even do this. And then we said, well, why do they have to move in March? Or maybe they could do a little bit. So that led to, and somebody asked me in particular, so we've always had a brass choir and kids love it. And we do some concerts. Could we be involved? And it's like, well, why not? You know, that's a great opportunity. And a brass choir, you know, can go up to 20 players or something like that. This is a new place. And then can be totally stationary if they want, if that's what they do. Maybe they want to put in a little bit of body work, and that's an option, but not a requirement. And, you know, everybody sees all these videos that float around of, I've seen several of the Japanese ensembles, wind ensembles and things like that, that even during the COVID situation have put on concerts on a big stage, and they do a little bit of movement, a little bit of staging, not a marching band show, or a WINS show like we do. They just do a little bit of staging. In fact, even some of the British brass bands are doing a little bit of staging. In other words, they sit in a concert formation, but there's going to be an 8-bar trombone feature. Why should they sit in the back of the band when they can walk up to the front and just be staged like that? And it's much more interesting to watch, more interesting for the kids. And in fact, John Philip Sousa used to do that with his band.
That's
all the
true.
Time.
Yeah.
You know, he would bring the trombones up. He would bring the trumpets up. So really the sky's the whole limit.
So everybody can sort of tailor it to what they need for their group or what they have time for, what they have facilities for, right?
And I do know that some groups are planning on doing a WINS group the way they've always done it, or they've seen it before and they'd say, well, this might be an opportunity for me to get in because it's not threatening. You know, it's we could go non-competitive and we'll see if we like it. So it's a good way to sample that.
Yeah, let me ask you about that again, Rosie. The whole non-competitive part to me is really, really attractive because I think a lot of band directors want to engage their students. They want to try it, but they don't want to like jump into the shark tank, you know? Not that it's a shark tank, you know what I mean? But there can be a lot of pressure if you think you're going to get scores and be ranked and stuff. So you've made it possible for people just to participate in whatever level they want.
That's right. And, you know, and like what Bart was saying about, you might not have the resources, and that I think that's what some groups are concerned about right now. Like, well, I don't want to compete if I can't have, you know, my designers come in, or I can't have this tarp that I want and things like that. And it's like, okay, you know, this is a new world we're all in. And a lot of our priorities have shifted. You know, a couple of years ago, you know, we might've been more cutthroat competition, and this is a really important to our program. But the fact that, you know, this is about making sure that our programs thrive in this setting. And over the long term, we keep both the activity alive, and we keep our programs alive and keep these kids engaged. So whatever performance, I think it's about performing, and I think it's about getting that gratification first and foremost, as it usually is. But there's, you know, the fact that we can do this in a non-competitive, non-threatening way, we wanted those folks to have an option as well. You know, it's really important that this is about all of us coming together as a community and keeping these kids in this activity we all love so much, and giving them a place to love WGI and do their thing, you know.
And that made me think the whole social aspect of being in a group, being in an ensemble, in any of our divisions is really, really important. And it reminds me of a story I heard about a month ago from one of our independent WINS groups, who have been with us from the beginning, and they contacted all their members about coming back and saying, and at that time they were saying, well, we don't know really exactly what the season's going to look like because we haven't made our decision, made our announcement yet. And the kids, it was like a giant Zoom call, and the kids were saying, does this mean we will be able to come together and see our friends and rehearse with our friends?
Yeah.
And they said, well, for sure, no matter what happens, we'll be doing that. And they all said, every one of them said, we're in.
Yeah.
And we forget how important the social aspect of being in a group is. And, you know, I've had a couple occasions to go to some marching band rehearsals around here, and the kids are so happy to being together, even if they're just putting together, you know, a fragment of a show or pop tunes or anything like that. They are so happy to be doing, in our case, the band thing.
Yeah, you know, Bart, one of the things, the real silver linings for me about all of this stuff that's going on is that I think sort of Rosie mentioned this, people are really, really thinking about their students first. And I think this, you're giving people that opportunity. We need to take care of our students. We need to keep them engaged. Yes, we want to keep our programs growing. We want to keep their skills going. But as Wayne just mentioned, they just need to be involved with their friends and do something fun. And I love that you're giving people a lot of ways to figure out they might be able to do it.
Yeah, the participants' mental health is another huge aspect that is very important. And that's where, you know, when you do see a few groups that are deciding they're not going to do it, it's just so devastating to those kids. So yeah, that was the motivation of how we were about this was, we have got to keep these kids to have this activity. You know, how are we going to do this? and we kept going through every scenario. We're just like, well, we need to cover that too. So that's what I really hope everybody can find their situation and figure out how to make it work for them. Where there's a will, there's a way. That's for sure.
Yeah. And I love, Rosie, I especially love the idea of thinking outside the box. You know, I'm having discussions with different groups about how they're going to be trying to implement this. And they're like, well, you know, we may not have a gym floor, so we're going to do something on a stage this year. Like, and then they get excited about it because they're like, well, here's a chance for me to really stretch myself. So I love that people have to figure it out, but you know, I want you to just mention that it needs to be fun for the designer and the director to figure this out, right?
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, we're already seeing people be creative with some of the things that they're putting out on social media right now. you know, and things like that, and watching people perform in a park or perform in a sculpture, you know, garden and, yeah. and interesting things like that. I mean, there's a place for that in the e-showcase class, you know, that's a place where anything goes, you know, more of the group competitive and non-competitive is a little bit more in a of a traditional thing. Then you can read through all of those rules and where everything fits, you know, there's a place for every category. If there's a small group of your, you know, or your rifle nine you want to show off, well, they could go to the, you know, parking lot behind the school and film their production. You know, there's so many different things for everybody. It's exciting.
Yeah. I mean, and I can tell you the kids are going to get excited about whatever it is you decide to do. You know what I mean? Like they just want to perform and they want to be with their friends, as Wayne said. And so I think wherever you fall in all these options, it's okay. You know, it's okay. I want to encourage everybody. It's okay to have a non-competitive season. It's okay to do this in a really different way because it's all about those students and keeping them engaged. And Bart, I just have to tell you, I love that you guys have figured this out in such a creative and clever way. Like I was, when this came out, I was like, oh wow, like this is so much bigger than I had imagined. And that's my hat's off to you for that. You know, I love that. Bart, what do you want to say in closing? I'll let each of you say a final thought. Bart, what do you want to say as we're wrapping this up?
Thank you. I really appreciate that because the committee that Rosie chaired, you know, has definitely gone above and beyond on this one.
Yeah,
and
no doubt.
For us as an organization, obviously this was crucial for us to say, you know what, we still, no matter how this all unfolds with this season, we want these kids to have opportunities and we want, you know, there's a mourning period and we've all gone through it where we have to be sad about not doing it the way we know, but we got to turn our frowns upside down and find a way to make it work for these kids. So
that's great. Wayne, what do you want to say in closing?
Well, as far as the band programs out there, you know, please send me questions on email. If you're curious about this, you know, can I do this? How about if we did that? Is this possible? And, you know, I'll get right back with you. And my email is wayne@wgi.org. So that's easy.
That is easy.
But really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be exciting.
Yeah, and that's the thing, everybody. Even contact me and I'll put you in touch with somebody if you're not sure. You know, that there are people that are happy to answer your questions because we all know we're all figuring this out. So, you know, don't be afraid to ask us or ask anybody else that's been doing this. How are you doing it? You know, that's like I said, I have a series of conversations coming out with different groups to talk about how they're thinking about it. So hopefully those will be helpful too. Rosie, you're going to get the last word. What would you like to say in closing?
I will say, I'm excited about this for our community and most importantly for the performers. And I just think if you can, you know, take an afternoon and sift through that website and find all the places where your program can fit into this. And I guarantee it's going to be a great experience. I'm excited to be an audience member and to watch all of these performances and to, you know, have our WGI community as a whole come together and be able to sit on a Saturday with my popcorn in the comfort of my own home and watch all these great performers do what they, you know, what I haven't been able to see for, you know, way too long now. So I'm excited for that. And I just encourage all of the directors out there to, once you get through the morning of it all, that you look forward into the future of what this could be for your program. And most importantly, for your kids to have fun and enjoy what we all love about WGI together.
Yeah, it's fantastic. You know, I'm looking forward to just seeing what everybody comes up with and sharing that with the community. I think it's going to be so much fun. Bart and Rosie and Wayne, you guys were wonderful. Thank you for talking with me today. And thanks for all your hard work for everybody that cares so much about WGI. You're allowing them to have a season in a strange new way, but a very cool, fun way. So thank you so much for that.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Tim.
Watch for other podcasts about this upcoming WGI winter season, where we talk to top groups about their plans and get their suggestions on how to navigate these new opportunities. There are links to the WGI website pages where this podcast is located at the Marching Roundtable. Contact me at tim@marchingroundtable.com if you have questions or want to be put in touch with anyone at WGI to answer your questions. They're here to support you and help you have a fun and successful season, no matter how your group decides to participate.
And thanks to Fran Kick for this message.
I'd like to share three important reasons why you need to take advantage of marchingartseducation.com and the resources that Tim Hinton has put together for anyone involved in the marching pageantry arts world. Number one, we've heard the expression that experience is the best teacher. And the truth of the matter is, that's the biggest lie we tell ourselves. Experience isn't the best teacher. Other people's experience. Now that's the best teacher, because you can learn from all the mistakes they made and how they figured out how to make it work and not make those mistakes yourself. The second reason is if you're a fan of Stephen Covey, you know the phrase sharpening the saw and how we all need to take time to keep learning. And in our world especially, the people who are most successful are the ones who are constantly learning and growing and developing their craft of teaching and designing and making this thing work for them in their situation with their students in their school or community or environment. And number three, it's the most cost-effective way to gain an advantage like that, because you could take a marching band methods course somewhere in America at the college level, undergraduate or graduate. But for an undergraduate credit hour, you're going to spend $530. And for a graduate level course, in the United States right now, it's $631 per credit hour. When you can make a small investment each month and have access to an entire catalog of materials and instruction and ideas that will serve you well, way beyond the cost of admission, marchingartseducation.com might be your secret weapon for a more successful future in the pageantry world.
If you're a business that works with band directors, marching bands, color guards, or drum lines, you should sponsor podcasts at the Marching Roundtable. Our listeners are the exact audience you're trying to reach, and with thousands of podcast downloads each month, it's a great way to directly reach your target audience. For more information, click on the sponsorship opportunities link at marchingroundtable.com or email Tim at tim@marchingroundtable.com. You can grow your business and help support what we're doing here on the podcast.